Grace and peace to you. Welcome to the podcast, One a Day, in which we discuss some part of a chapter of Scripture each day. This is April 2nd, Acts chapter 2. Let's get to it. When Peter was asked on the day of Pentecost what his listeners should do, he replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The word for baptize means to plunge, to dip, or to immerse in water. So Peter is telling the people to be plunged under the water and then be brought back up again, symbolically joining Christ in his death and also his resurrection. I understand that when the King James Version was being written, the church was practicing infant baptism, in which a baby was sprinkled with water, not immersed in it. So when they came to this verse, they knew it would be awkward to say repent and be immersed if that was not their practice. So instead, they transliterated the Greek word baptizo and thus invented a new word that had no inherent meaning, baptize. Peter's Jewish audience that day were well familiar with the practice of dunking in water. There were multiple baptistries in Jerusalem in which people would dunk themselves in water as a means of purifying themselves before they'd enter the temple grounds. Some of those in-ground tiny pools are still there today. Baptism for them was a ceremonial washing to purify the worshiper, and it was done by baptizing yourself, you might say. Then came John the Baptist, and he had taken baptism to another level when he offered a baptism of repentance. And this is subtle. Baptism was presented in passive voice. Be baptized. You don't immerse yourself in John's case. You allow someone else to do that. It was also not a big step for him to modify the meaning of baptism from a purification of body and soul to a baptism of repentance. Yet, for all the changes that John made, John said, "I indeed baptize you in water, but one is coming after me who will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." So John predicted that Jesus would come and provide the ultimate meaning for the practice of baptism, a baptism that is more than physical. It is a spiritual immersion. So this is what Peter means when he tells his listeners to repent and be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, Peter and the other apostles, as well as the 120 who were there together, knew well the experience of a spiritual new birth through being baptized in the Spirit. I mean, it had just happened to them. In fact, the reason that the crowd had gathered in the first place there was because there had been the sound of a mighty rushing wind, and they'd come running to see what it was. By the way, the word for spirit is the same word as the word for wind or breath. So that was God indicating that the Spirit had come. What they saw when they got there was all of these believers in Jesus speaking. Each was hearing in their own language, and the people up there were speaking the great things of God, glorifying God. Likely, the miracle of these Galileans, with a reputation for being backwards, uneducated, speaking in their own language was intriguing at the very least. For those who had ears to hear, it was the first of many signs and wonders from the Lord to confirm the message of the story of Jesus. Well, we too are told to repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. This is the familiar baptism of John. You might say that John was the last of the Old Testament prophets, meaning the resurrection of Jesus had not yet happened, and the new spiritual layer of meaning for your individual baptism had not been fulfilled until this day. And now there it was. And they who were baptized received the Holy Spirit. As Peter said, "This promise is for you and for your children, as well as those who are far away, as many as the Lord calls." And so here I am, a Gentile, half a world away, almost 21 centuries later, receiving that same promise at my baptism as they had, the Holy Spirit. It would be wise to clarify the role of baptism in salvation, I suppose. We are told that we are saved by grace through faith, or by faith through grace. Our faith and God's grace combine to offer forgiveness. But to enter into this new relationship with God requires a bigger commitment to life change than Israel had known to this point. This was more than a washing, more than a statement about repentance. It was the moment of the gift of the Holy Spirit. When we die and are buried with Christ in baptism, then we are raised to walk in the newness of life. It is a gift which had been unknown to this point in history. Baptism might be the moment of salvation and forgiveness as we join him on the cross. It may be the moment of salvation, but Baptism is not the means of salvation. We declare in baptism that the burial of Jesus is also the burial of my own sinful self. So it seems that faith comes first, which we solidify when we confess it. Then comes repentance, which is usually accompanied by the outward expression of baptism. So two attitudes, believe and repent, and two actions, confess and be baptized. May you know the experience of rebirth and renewal in the Holy Spirit this day and always. Amen.